This is Kate Harness with 307net Radio, and today I'm joined by Tyler Broderick and Caitlin Bird from the VOA, Volunteers of America. Hello guys, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good, how nice to see you. And Caitlin, I couldn't help but notice that you have a whole plethora, a multitude of different kind of groups that you have on offer. Maybe there are a lot of them, so maybe we could just have a quick little overview of what they are and maybe who they're for.
Sure, absolutely. We primarily, these ones that we're going to talk about are for mental health, mental well-being, and they all address different things. So one of them is Healthy Minds, Healthy Lives, and that group, you know, it really addresses social skills. So boundaries, self-acceptance, self-worth, confidence, giving yourself grace, giving other people's grace, how to just have a healthier well-being all around. And part of the goal of having group is to gain a community of like-minded people, so that you know you're not alone. You know, group work is integral in terms of long-term recovery, having longevity in our mental well-being.
So you're saying that even if we'd like to think of ourselves as independent, individual, resourceful creatures, that actually, even so, we do better when we are collaborative and in group and social.
Absolutely.
Even in what we might feel are our uglier sides or our weaker sides. Is that right?
Absolutely. The ugliest, weakest sides of us, which is my favorite side of people. That's what I think.
That's why you're a peer specialist.
Yeah.
This job. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what gives us purpose. That's what keeps us going. It gives us purpose outside of ourselves. That's what I say to clients all the time. Find purpose outside yourself, because as soon as you do, the world gets a little bit bigger, the grass gets a little bit greener. Being the center of our own universe can be really depressing when we go through trials, when we go through all of these different things. But when we can reach out to community supports and have social connection and have, you know, be able to have really difficult conversations about very real struggles, we realize that we're not alone and that the world doesn't revolve around us, thank goodness. And it makes it a lot easier to just live. And so the goal is to not just survive, but it's to thrive with the life that we've been given.
Well, that sounds very encouraging. I think a lot of people, you know, are feeling the pinch in many different ways. You know, financially, there are a lot of people in our community that are struggling. You know, there's a food insecurity. We've obviously coming off the end of, you know, the world being turned upside down, not so much maybe here in Johnson County, but, you know, the world was really up on its end, you know, for a while during the pandemic, and I think it challenged everybody's notions of what was normal and what was expected, and, you know, there's some ricochets for that. And, of course, you know, we can't have a conversation like this without, you know, mentioning just our very high suicide rates in this part of the world. And there are some encouraging new data which suggests that we might be doing something about that, but it's never enough, is it? And those things are always, always difficult. So what's behind the thinking for this, Caitlin? Is this a whole new program for, who's it for? Is it for anyone? For younger people? What do you think?
I wouldn't say it's a whole new program. I just think it's, we now have the resources available to put things in action that have been in the works for probably years and years and years now. And so I'm just grateful to be a part of that, you know, a part of the piece of that's going forward with it. The Healthy Minds, Healthy Lives group is an adult group, so anyone above the age of 18 can join. Right now we're actually starting to, you know, test the waters and getting stuff in the senior center to help that population as well.
And of course we don't think about older people being unhappy or depressed, but it is actually a very challenging life stage. You may be losing your faculties, you know, physical or mental. You may also be losing your friends and your loved ones, and, you know, family members, maybe a spouse or whatever. Those are significant challenges.
Yes.
For people. So, Tyler, Caitlin, you're both at, you know, the rock face, the coal face, for, you know, helping people with their sort of emotional and mental anxieties. What are you noticing? Were these groups a direct response to need that you found comes up with your individual clients?
Yeah, do you want to speak to that first? Or? Okay. Yeah, I think, I'll go back to what Caitlin was saying a few minutes earlier, is that that sense of community, and I think groups really do have a powerful effect on that, and somehow, you know, our suffering or one person's suffering may seem not as intense, or maybe you feel unified and or more hopeful seeing that somebody else is suffering with a similar thing and we're not so alone with it. And I just think that's a really, really powerful realization that people have come to. So I hope that people can realize that the things that we struggle with, we're not alone. As much as it feels that way, mm-hmm. before we open our mouths and reach out, we're not alone. You can find really powerful support.
So one of the kind of characteristics of Wyoming folk is that, you know, we cowboy up, mm-hmm. we just push on through. We don't like to admit those uglier sides of us. We regard them as weaknesses, and that needs to be hidden mm-hmm. and shielded. How do you overcome that kind of challenge here in this kind of community?
I love this question, if I may. I do. I love this. There is something very admirable about cowboy up and get it done. There is, right? I mean, that's why that exists in this town. That's why we have it. That's why it's, quote unquote, worked for so long, even though it hasn't, right? The grit piece of it is a really big deal. The thing that I think, that I believe is confused, is that to cowboy up means to not talk about stuff. The problem with that is that we're not really cowboying up then. If we're going to cowboy up and get through it, we have to go through it, not around it. Because by going around it, we're being weak, right? And so if we're going to cowboy up, let's use it. We know that term all too well. Then let's cowboy up and actually deal with hard stuff. You know, let's start the conversation. Let's actually make some waves and walk through the struggle. Redefining what strength and weakness looks like. I mean, if we really got to the root of what we think is weak, we really would unpack that there's a lot of fear involved in vulnerability. And that's okay. That doesn't mean you're weak. That just means that there's fear there that can be addressed. But that fear can turn into strength. Which I believe is cowboying up and using the grit. We use that in the recovery world all the time. It's like we need to have strength, we need to have grit, we need to have the power of self-discipline, and we need to be vulnerable. Vulnerability isn't a weakness, it's a strength. And so when we cowboy up, we go full bore.
So vulnerability is something that some people find extremely difficult. How do you operate a group to overcome that strong emotion? You're asking people to drop a lot of the mm-hmm. facade or the veil about themselves. Mm-hmm. How can you offer some security in that vulnerability?
Well, I would say probably the first thing is it's hard, mm-hmm. and it's hard for folks to take that first step. But once you take the first step, the next step's easier. And so that first step is walking into a place like this and asking for help. Mm-hmm. And then in a group, that first step is that first meeting where you sit down and face each other and start sharing a little bit about ourselves. And in that first meeting, we also like to set some guidelines and expectations of confidentiality and respect mm-hmm. amongst each other. And I think once folks see that, not just hear it, but see that we live that and expect that in our groups, it's a little bit easier the next week and the next week.
So do you, I mean, is there an issue with that? We live in a small community and everybody is connected in some way or other, and you know, people like to chat or whatever. Do you feel that you've been successful in retaining that confidentiality? Because that must be a huge barrier to some people wanting to be part of something. They just, you know, there's the stigma in their mind of sort of being associated with something about mental health. You know, we don't regard it yet like we do in terms of physical health. You know, physical, we're allowed to have physical health issues. Mental health issues are a bit more complicated. How's that going?
Yeah, I think that's an easy question from our end. Internally, we have accreditation agencies that require us to maintain confidentiality, of course, HIPAA, and so on. But our accreditations and our contracts, that's what we do. So there's a lot of training for staff on how to maintain confidentiality and balance dual relationships outside of here. Amongst the clients, I mean, initially you would think that that'll be a challenge. You know, we need to make sure that people keep each other's information confidential. But that's the initial thought. But I think what we find is actually, that's the initial worry from folks. But actually it turns into this great support outside of here. And it turns into friendship relationships and supportive relationships more than we could build here alone.
So, Caitlin, you've come to this through your own personal journey of, you know, you really have been on both sides of the fence, and I'm sure that you understand the confidentiality, but you could probably speak directly to the power of group and so on. And I don't know, is there a typical type of person that shows up in your groups?
No. There isn't, and that's what makes group so wonderful. From my experience in group, I really do, I mean, I can relate to being really uncomfortable at first. I fought it for a while with my, you know, my own support team. They're like, you really should give it a try, just give it a try. And I was like, no, I don't want to, I'm afraid. You know?
And what were you afraid of?
I was afraid, being born and raised in this town my whole life, I feel like everyone knows me, but I don't know everybody.
Okay.
And that's scary, you know. It is. It is a fear. And what I've found is just a moment of courage to step out into group. I realized that all the other group members felt the same way before they started. They were like, everyone knows me in this town. The last thing I want is to open up and have everyone and their dog know what my stuff is. And it was the most freeing space to have that vulnerability with other people, being able to share that weight, knowing that they're not going to take my stuff out of the space, but they're also not going to take it on themselves. They're just there to reflect, to listen, to hold space for each other. And there's so much power in that. And then now being in the position I am now, being able to facilitate those groups, it's really cool to have it come full circle, you know, and being able to see, like, the people that are struggling, that are fearful of that, come into group for the first time and feel loved and welcome, and no, maybe nobody in group even actually knows them despite their fear going in. And they start to see other people in the group spill the beans, you know, about their life and what they're struggling with. And then it gets around to them, and something magical happens. They can just share freely, and it's a beautiful thing.
And I think, you know, we all know that you never know what happens behind closed doors, and, you know, even people who might appear to have the most picture-perfect lives, you know, we all have our struggles. That's what this human life seems to be, doesn't it, to kind of be challenged, and we choose how we grow.
Mm-hmm.
From that. So you describe groups, and in a minute I'd just like to kind of turn and talk about each, quickly about each of the groups and what there is to offer, but do they have a sort of duration? Is it like a semester or a 15-week group program? I mean, are they for life? I mean, you know, can you get on and get off? How does it work?
Yeah, that is a great question, actually. The idea with working our wellness, right? A lot of people are fearful of the term mental health. So working our wellness, the end goal is to not have to come back, right? We don't want them to have to come and feel like they have to be here. The goal is to give them the skills and the courage to utilize group and the relationships they've made, and then go and spread their wings.
So sort of grow out of group.
The idea is to grow out of group. Yeah.
Okay.
I think the idea is we try to do client-centered work, meaning when people have reached their goals here, then they kind of graduate out. So it's hard to say, you know, that there's a set number of groups, although we kind of have an idea about how long it should take. It's client-centered, so based on a person's progress and their own goals.
Okay, sounds great. So there are 8 groups you have on offer, which sounds an incredibly large amount. Let's just talk about what each of them are, you know, to begin with, for people so that they can understand what, you know, might be appropriate to them or somebody they know. There's a Healthy Start program with Rhianne Fowler, and that's for new moms. And
yes,
new motherhood can be challenging. Sometimes it's not all Instagram feature perfect, is it? I mean, you know, suddenly you have a new little person in your house, and you have that changes the dynamic and the chemistry of your entire house. Mm-hmm. Sometimes pregnancy isn't easy, postpartum depression. And so this group is for just new mothers, or is it for fathers too?
Primarily, this is for new moms going through. I guess I'm not sure about fathers. That hasn't really been discussed.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. But, that never crossed my mind. It's built for new moms right now, but that's a new avenue we can.
So that would be interesting, maybe.
We initially, this came to us out of public health. We were all at an assist training. So Rhianne and myself and some gals from public health were all there. And this just was briefly touched on, and all 4 of us were just like, we all looked at each other and we're like, this has to happen. And so it was birthed from that, from the, we were in an assist training together, and then some people from public health and Rhiannon. And I was like, I'm not a mom, but I want to figure out how we can get this started. And Rhiannon is like, I am all over this.
Right. And she, of course, has children of her own.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that that's helpful when you kind of have an idea of what that landscape can be like. So that's for new moms who might be struggling, and you already know that there's a need. So, you know, there's this one. You mentioned already Healthy Minds, Healthy Lives. So that's for 18 and over, in an adult group. And that's really for just survival skills, just having life, making life smoother. You don't have to be in crisis at all. You just like to make it better for yourself.
Better coping. Caitlin has built these programs based on evidence-based interventions. So they're great groups.
They're research-based, and so people are not coming forward as guinea pigs in some kind of notion. There is already a well-trodden path that these are effective and therapeutic. Okay, great. Young DBT Skills Group. What is DBT?
DBT is Dialectical Behavioral Therapy.
Wow.
And I do the skills piece of it, to be clear. It's not a therapy group. It's a skills group. And so we utilize the DBT skills. So like crisis survival, learning healthy coping mechanisms, understanding, you know, we have an emotional mind that it reacts to things. We have our logical mind that's just like black and white. But then there's a space in between. It's our wise mind, and that's how we can make really intentional decisions. And so it's teaching youth about, you know, how do we tolerate stressful situations? How can we, you know, proceed mindfully? How can we regulate our emotions? Understand how we're actually feeling. Knowing how to relate to each other, you know, being social in a healthy way.
So this is a group for quite young people, 10 to 17-year-olds.
Yep.
Is this young people who may be living in a very sort of traumatic or chaotic home, or can it be for anybody? How do you envisage this one working?
It can truly be anyone within that age group. I feel like I, as an adult, I benefit from DBT skills regularly. So it's more or less, it's client-based too, you're going to benefit from it, you know, like it's just a good place to practice skills.
Yeah, I mean, I'm struck by, you know, what a young age group it is, and we like to think of you know, being a kid as being a pretty carefree, simple time. Perhaps that's not the case so much right now.
Yeah, I think times
have changed. And, you know, we all talk frequently about the bad parts of social media and, you know, the connectivity, the 24/7 potential just to be sort of plugged into things and, you know, what is going to be the effect of that. I mean, this group of kids are the first ones that have ever been exposed to this kind of social metric. It's, you know, it's unknown.
Unprecedented.
Absolutely unprecedented, and we don't know where it's going to go, and I think a lot of parents feel quite anxious about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then an adult
yes.
version of this same group.
Yeah.
So again, you know, for mindfulness and mm-hmm. helping to kind of regulate your own emotions and so on, and so on, and gaining self-control and emotional intelligence, I'm sure. I don't know anybody who wouldn't benefit from that. And then that group also is by Zoom, because the others are, we've talked about so far, are all in person, aren't they?
Yes.
So maybe Zoom and telehealth, as we know it, that offers a different dimension for people who may be more reticent or reluctant. How is therapists, does telehealth, how is that challenging? Does it work as well for you?
You know, I think... I would say yes and no. It depends on the person. It depends on the illness as well. There's some things that are just better treated in person. You know, if we recognize that, then that's what we'll recommend is in-person services. But some things we found actually do better than you'd think in telehealth.
And so maybe this is a way for somebody
yeah.
to kind of, you know, if they don't want to come somewhere, or they can't spare the time for kind of getting to somewhere and getting back, or they don't want people to know that they are here
mm-hmm.
in the interim, maybe a Zoom option is quite good. Now, I was very, I stopped and thought about this a lot because it's the stop overthinking group. How do you stop overthinking? You know, some people just seem to be hardwired to just pick on things, and I know a lot of people who, you know, often say flippantly, oh, I'm overthinking this, I'm going to stop overthinking, and so on. This group, it's for 18-year-olds, so it's for adults. What does this group offer?
I overthink. That's where it came from, is my struggle with that. DBT does address a lot of this stuff. And so it's all part of itself, kind of, but it's more specified. You know, people who have really severe anxiety, and it's just like they're always perseverating on something, or they're catastrophizing something and that's possibly going to happen in the future, all these different things. It's about living in the moment and just being where our feet are. Actually, I have a sticker on my water bottle. It says, be where your feet are. I have to remind myself that all the time. And when we can live in the moment and take our thoughts captive, because that's really what it's about, is how can we take our thoughts captive in the moment to realize that sometimes there is literally nothing we can do, and worrying is not helping the situation, right? And so how can we just let it be? What would it look like to let it be? It's like practicing, like playing out those internal narratives of, what if, though? And so getting comfortable with the idea of living in the moment.
Okay, thank you. And that also comes as a Zoom group too, so maybe a little bit more difficult for those of us who have flighty minds and who like to be doing two or three things at once and so on. And then another group about the power of self-discipline.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
This was built... you know, we have a lot of resources for, you know, substance abuse or, you know, mental, like, it feels like there's more of those things, but we haven't really talked about self-discipline, at least for me, in terms of, like, food or, you know, getting out and exercising, having the discipline to, like, get up and go for a walk when we're depressed, or, because that's discipline, right? When we're depressed, it can be the hardest thing in the world to just get up and do what you're supposed to do to live. And so how can we sow seeds of self-discipline to then reap those seeds of self-discipline when we're depressed, when we don't feel like we need to or shouldn't or can't? The discipline kicks in and we can go through that. And so that's like harnessing the power of repetition. You know, what is that going to look like? How can we have accountability in a healthy way being self-disciplined.
So just learning when you need to say, actually, I'm making excuses for myself and I'm not actually serving myself in the long term very well. Learning to discern that from, actually, no, I can't, this is not right for me right now. Is that really what you're saying this group is about? Yeah, I'm sure we could all benefit from that too. So these groups get up and running. Some of them are going right now. How do people connect in? Or you can just find out more. Can you come and just dip your toe in the water and say, I'm just going
on tonight? That's a good question. In order to maintain that confidentiality, we require that you are enrolled in our services. And so probably the first step is just call us and ask to talk to Caitlin, and she'll walk folks through that.
So is there a cost associated with this? I mean, everything in life seems much more expensive, and, you know, healthcare is much more expensive, and we are talking about this being healthcare and well-being. What is the cost?
It depends. We do bill insurance, and then we offer services at a sliding fee rate. So it just depends on the health.
Does insurance cover this for most people?
Yeah.
For an indefinite period? I mean, everyone's plan seems to be very different.
It depends on the insurance too.
So do you have to prove that in some way, you know, you are unwell enough to qualify to be able to get the cost benefit?
As far as
if for example, you know, I say, you know, I'm overthinking everything in my life, you know, and it's becoming incapacitating, or I just feel I deserve better for myself. What do you have to do to qualify to kind of relieve the financial burden?
I would say don't overthink that too much. So what a person would do would initially, before they enroll in one of these groups, is sit down with a clinician, and the clinician will do a simple assessment on a person's needs and make those recommendations and help walk those waters.
So these are great groups, and, you know, I think, you know, emotional and mental well-being is something that more and more people are becoming comfortable thinking about, talking about, realizing that maybe there's a moment in their own lives for them. Do you see these going on long-term? Is this a you know, part of a whole new place for VOA? We tend to think about mental health as for people just in crisis. These groups seem to be a little different. They're not about crisis. They're just about being able to do better.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. Most of what we do is non-crisis work. We're helping people work through anxiety, depression, substance use issues, all mental health.
I think that might surprise some people to hear that. So can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so if someone is struggling with a depressive disorder, and it may be hard to know without meeting with a therapist first what that looks like, but if your sleep or your depressed mood or eating changes, energy changes, get to a point, or suicidal thinking, I'll get to a point where it interferes with your life on a consistent basis. You know, maybe you have a day or two of a down mood. That's different than a few weeks of a down mood. It's time to reach out and ask for some support and help. That's what we'd do is we'd use some, again, evidence-based interventions to help folks. And part of this would be including these groups to help support people.
So in a way, what you're saying is that, you know, these groups, you know, have a bit more evidence-based aspects to them that, you know, help people rather than just talking to a friend. You know, that there's actually maybe something more than just a friend can offer. Not that your friend isn't valuable, but maybe there's something more in these groups, so you get a greater value out of just, you know, venting, let's say, to a friend or a family member or a spouse and so on, that there is something a bit more available.
Yeah, we'll help folks develop tools and skills, thinking skills, to manage this currently, but also it's in your toolbox now, so use it in the future to to ward off any future episodes.
And presumably that's not only a personal skill that you learn for yourself, and as we were saying, you know, you grow out of group, but then that's something that you then influence those around you, because, you know, you're not only an example of that, but you have some tools to also share with others.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's that nurture piece of is that we affect those around us, for good or bad.
Yeah, well, more in that famous phrase, you know, when we know better, we do better.
Yeah.
Okay, well, very exciting groups. I wish you well. Are they... How do people can call you, Caitlin, and I'll make sure that the number and the list of groups and so on and who they're for is next to this audio. You're encouraging people to come, you know, take the leap, be brave.
Yes.
There's nothing to lose, everything to gain. And
yes.
They're up and running from now, or do people have to wait until they get started?
They don't have to. They start when someone's enrolled.
Okay.
They're ready. The material is ready. The time is ready. We know where it's going to be on the schedule and when. It's just a matter of people showing up.
Well, thank you for your care and concern for, you know, everybody in our community, of making yourselves available for not just people in crisis, but for anybody who feels that they would like to do better.
Okay. Thanks for the opportunity to speak with you.
Tyler and Caitlin, thank you. I wish you well with this.
Thank you, Kate.